All of us men, we're wore out. We got beat up in the preaching and beat up in the dorms. Well, except for you. And so we're just wore out. Oh, I wanted to. I just have a hard time doing that until the night hit. It looks like everybody found out I was going to be teaching today, so y'all are the lucky ones that got stuck with me. I'm actually, Lord willing, I'm going to be teaching the next 2 weeks as well. And I'm going to go back and touch some more stuff on music. Even after I finished the first 6 weeks we did on music, I found some other things. Today I'm going to kind of go back and hit some of the things that I added to my notes since then. And then I will tell you what we're going to look at the next weeks at the end of the day. So it may not be too long. I only have 5 pages of notes. Okay, so I don't have a sheet today, but if anybody wants them, let me know and I'll print you off one. And I'll get you a copy of it. And this, it'll already be filled out because there's blanks. So and some of these we already went over part of it, but I added a little bit of things. And the first thing that we're gonna look at here is we talked about God's statutes are our song. Statute is a prescription, rule, law, or regulation. In Deuteronomy 6:1, it says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments." It kind of ties them all together there. "Which the Lord your God commanded to teach you that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it." 1 Kings 8:58. "That you may incline, or that he may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers." And we already knew in Psalms 19:8, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoice the heart, commandment of the Lord is pure and light in the eyes." And what I said is basically from these statements here, we can conclude this whole book can be our song. Anything in this book can be our song. These are his statutes. These are his commandments. These are his judgments. We have that, and we even have a whole book in there, the book of Psalms, that is that very thing already laid out for us. So your songs are focused around this. That's a good place to start. This was just a little short one. "How long do we sing?" I added Psalms 156. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord, praise ye, Lord." As long as we have breath, we need to praise the Lord and sing his praise. So that's a long time. I added some things under, you know, how we should not be worldly, especially in our music. Romans 12:2, "Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So many churches today, especially in their music, are trying to conform to the world. They're trying to change their music to be appeasing to the lost people. I'm sorry, the music is not what's supposed to draw people in like that. We're not supposed to change our methods to try to draw the lost in. We're supposed to present them with the gospel and let God do that. And so they're taking a bad approach, and they're really taking an approach of the path of least resistance. And I took this one from Brother Stephen. He put it in one of his a while back. It says, "The physical and metaphorical pathway that provides the least resistance to forward motion by a given object or entity among a set of alternative paths." And he had this quote from Henry David Thoreau: "The path of least resistance leads to crooked rivers and crooked men." The music of today, Christian music, modern music, it's the path of least resistance. People just follow whatever feels good and whatever they think the world's going to like. And that's what's happening. What does it lead? It leads to corrupt, crooked men, crooked theology. And you end up with people that think they're saved and have no idea what salvation is. And that's what's happening. I put here our churches, and I may have just said all that, our churches today are falling in the path of least resistance, and our music, conforming to the world, basically pretty much everything I just said. In Ephesians 4:14, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is what creates Christians that bounce around from church to church by whatever is popular. And I use the word Christian loosely there. They have no foundation. And I've said this before, in today's society, most people in churches, their theology that they know is based more on the songs that they sing than what they read in the Bible. And so, when you're singing the old hymns that have solid doctrine in them, you know, that helps. But when you're singing all these new modern songs, they don't know anything. They're basically just singing love. And that's it. That's all they know. I told somebody last night, vagueness is the friend of modern Christian music. All you gotta do is throw something in there that looks and sounds Christian, and they love it and they eat it up. But it doesn't stand up against the Word of God. It doesn't match up. And that's a problem. And our churches today, they're falling for it. They're going right into it. And it is corrupting good churches. There's been churches that you would have thought never would have been allowing certain things to happen. They started with the music, and look where they're at now, and you couldn't even tell it's the same church. It's sneaking in. Yes, sir. Well, the problem is this type of church, when somebody does get saved, it produces shallow Christians. And you know what shallow Christians produce? They produce people that think they're Christian and aren't at all. They're not able to pass it along. They're not able to witness somebody and tell them about Christ because they don't know how. They haven't been taught. And so that's what's happening. You're kind of led right into what we're going into next is ministry versus industry. And that deals a lot. I'm going to talk about the Southern Gospel with that too. Ministry, we know, is a work whose goal is to see souls saved and to edify the body of Christ. What's the industry? Make money. Here's the problem to many. There are many that have what we've seen, you know, to be good music and even good lyrics and good standards. Like, I grew up on Southern Gospel. That's what I listen to mostly. Okay? Now, even in Southern Gospel, there's some songs out there that are just flat out heretical. They're not good. You gotta avoid them. But there's groups out there that have some really good songs, and we sing some of those songs in our church. But the problem is the focus of those people that are singing those songs. If their concern is about making money, winning awards, hey, they have Christian award music programs. If they're concerned about that, if they're more concerned about their performance, then their heart's in the wrong place and what they're doing is not right. They can have the good music and still be in the wrong. And that happens a lot in Southern Gospel. I'm going to call some names. There's a group. It was my mom's favorite group growing up called the Hoppers. A lot of you probably heard of them. And here recently, they sang in a concert a Beatles song. Yes. And I forget the name of it. I have to go back and look it up. But in the song, it talks about Mother Mary. But it's not a gospel song. Well, why would you do that? Because they're performing. That's it. There's nothing ministry that has anything to do with what they just did. And so if they were focused on the ministry, then these other things wouldn't matter. And so you can see what motivates people and see whether or not their heart's in the right place. This applies even in church. I know people that will get up and have great talent, and you can tell that they're doing it to be seen. It's no different than the Pharisees praying out and open for people to see and hear their long, fancy prayers like the Bible talks about. It's the exact same thing. The problem is, Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, and that's what they're trying to do. And they're trying to do it under the guise of, we're doing this for God. And that's a dangerous thing. It says again, even in Luke 16:13, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. It was important enough he said it twice. Okay? When we went through our study the first time, I gave examples of the Bible that kind of fit with what I was explaining. Like we talked about death in the pot. We talked about the new cart for the ark. Another thing that the Lord kind of laid on my heart was leaven. Here I wrote, leaven is described as bad doctrine and hypocrisy in the Bible. It has the quality of spreading and infecting. If we allow the leaven of the world and Satan into our churches through music, it will spread and infect the church. Before you know it, the preaching, morals, and standards will deteriorate as well. It's a starting point. And so let's see what the Bible says about leaven. Matthew 16:6 says, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. He warns of it. And guess what? That leaven is in this music that we're talking about. The praise and worship music that's coming out of these churches, and we already talked about what they believe and what they teach, and it is nowhere near correct. They do not serve the same God we do. It's not somebody that's in a denomination that's slightly different from us, that's maybe off on baptism or a few things here and there. They are flat out heretics, and they're putting this music out, and it is influencing people all over this nation. It says in Mark 8:15, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. It's out there. Luke 12, in the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. And then once again in 1 Corinthians we see, chapter 5, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If we allow this into our churches, it will spread and it will affect all aspects of our church. And that's what's happening today. He says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We need to guard our church and our music in our churches just as much as we would do with the pastor and the preaching that he does behind the pulpit. It's just as important. All right, let's look at this again. Why can't we sing songs that are written by those that do not worship God? And this is going back to those. And one of the songs that we've hit really good is the song, The Goodness of God. Okay? When you look at the words, except for that weird chorus at the end, it doesn't look bad. But when you find out about the woman who wrote the song and the things that she believes and teaches, it's crazy. Did you know that there is a video of her saying that when she had a vision that when we praise God, He has giant reflecting mirrors under His arms. He just opens them up and reflects those praises back to us and says, you too. Is that the kind of person you want writing your songs for church? She's nuts. And I talked about this before a little bit. You know, in Hebrews 13:15, it says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, this can be in speaking, but it also includes our singing. It's a sacrifice of praise to God continually. And then I went and showed you that in Leviticus, and I'm not going to read all those verses today, that Leviticus lays out the different sacrifices and what's required of it. And every single one, if you'll look, it says without blemish. Every single sacrifice was to be without blemish. No matter what kind of sacrifice it was for, what kind of animal was used, it was to be without blemish. So should our sacrifice of praise, it should be without blemish, that we use for God. Let's see. Let's look at Deuteronomy 17:1. It says, thou shalt not sacrifice unto the Lord thy God any bullock or sheep wherein is blemish, or, I found this word very interesting, evil favoredness. For that is an abomination unto the Lord thy God. So I looked up evil favoredness. There's a lot that falls under this word here. This is an outline of the biblical usage of it. Bad. Evil. It's going to say bad a lot. Bad, disagreeable, malignant. Bad, unpleasant, evil, giving pain, unhappiness, misery, evil, displeasing, bad of its kind, whether land, water, etc., bad of value, worse than, worst in comparison, sad, unhappy, evil, hurtful, bad, unkind, vicious in disposition, bad, evil, wicked, ethically, in general of persons, of thoughts, deeds, and actions. There's a lot of things that fall under evil favoredness. And I'm telling you today, the contemporary music, praise and worship music coming out of these churches is full of evil favoredness. And it is infecting our churches today, the Independent Baptists. That song, The Goodness of God, is being sung in Independent Baptist churches all over this nation. It's even been sung in our church in the past before we knew about all of it. It's an infection. It's a leaven. It's leavening our churches. One of the things I want to talk about next, and this was not in my notes before, God does not respect all sacrifices. So let's look in Genesis chapter 4. And we know here is Cain and Abel, right? So they go to give their sacrifices to God. Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, and in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth and his countenance fell. They both gave offerings. Obviously, they both didn't follow the instructions that were given to them on what the offering should be. And God didn't respect Cain's offering. We need to be careful of our offerings too. If we're offering the wrong things to God, He's not going to respect it. He's not going to accept it. In Hebrews 11:4, it goes back and talks about it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. God's not going to accept your praise just because you're praising Him. And there's another thing I'm going to talk about here in a second. Well, actually, when we get down to Amos there, but I'll hit this right here. In Psalms 137, it says, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. The people that captured Israel, they said, hey, sing us one of them songs that y'all sing about God. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. Listen to what they said. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I wrote, they didn't even want to sing the Lord's song, which is the right song, in a strange land, but yet people today want to sing strange songs to the Lord. They had more respect and knowledge of what should be done than we do today. Let's look at Amos chapter 5. So, we know about Amos. Children of Israel are not where they need to be, right? Amos gets sent by God to give them warnings and judgment. Listen to what he says in Amos chapter 5. Now this is what God is saying to the children of Israel. Amos is saying it. He says, I hate and despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assembly. Now that's their sacrifices and feasts that God told them they were to do, right? He says, I hate them, I despise them, and I will not smell your solemn assemblies. He says, though ye offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them, neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. They're doing what they were told to do in that aspect. Verse 23, take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. He says, get it away from me. He says, I don't want to hear it. He says, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. He says, have ye offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel? But here's the point right here. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and your Chion, your images, the star of your God, which ye made to yourselves. They were sure they were doing the feasts and the sacrifices and the praises like God had laid it out for them. But where was their heart? It was tied up in Moloch and Chion and the gods that they had set up before themselves. We see here, God didn't respect their sacrifices. He didn't respect their praises. He says, get it away from me. I don't want nothing to do. He says, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. He presented judgment there to them. We need to make sure today we're no better than Israel. We need to make sure that our music lines up with the Word of God. That our music is pleasing to Him. But we also need to make sure that our life is lined up with the Word of God, or the music that we have that may be in the right place is not going to be accepted well because we're contaminated. Let's see. Okay, I do have more. I can't remember what page I was on. I just wrote some thoughts on this. And this has to do with our hymns. So I wanted to touch base on this too. There's a lot of people that oppose what I have been teaching on this. And I'm going to present one of the things that they argue. Those that oppose what I've presented will argue that a great many hymns that we sing in our books and our churches, that the writers had bad doctrine as well. That is true. Okay? That is very true. They say that if we follow this logic, we should throw them out as well. And this is my explanation for this. There is a big difference between an individual with some bad doctrine, like there's a difference in somebody that's truly gotten saved but believes they can lose their salvation, and somebody that believes this word of faith that doesn't know God at all. There's some good songs out there that still have words in them that I change, even in our hymn book. Because you change that one little word, you're good. There's a big difference in that. An individual that teaches nothing but heresy and is not saved, that, there's a big difference. I believe there are saved brothers and sisters in Christ that are outside of the Baptist church. Okay? I'm not one of those that believes you have to be Baptist. But I do believe if you're Baptist, you're closer to what the Word of God has. All right, so music, it can be dangerous from these other places. And I mentioned Bill Johnson, Stephen Furtick, Brian Houston. Those are the ones that are over those churches, Elevation, Hillsong, and Bethel, where most of the contemporary praise and worship is coming from. They use their music as a gateway to their church. They actually draw people into their church through their music. And I saw the Hillsong had a couple of documentaries done on them. And one of the things that one of the people that they interviewed said was that she specifically said that Hillsong music was the gateway to their church. People would share it with other people. They would like it. And that's how they would get them to come visit their church. And then they would be indoctrinated with the bad theology that they had. And that's how it happens. If you play their music in the legal way, most of the time it's going to be up on a screen like this, and at the very bottom it's going to have a copyright with the name of the group it came from, Bethel or Hillsong or whatever. In our churches, we have young people, and we have people that may be visiting that either aren't saved or they're new babes in Christ and they're not grounded. They hear these songs and they go, ooh, I like that. They see the name at the bottom and they look it up and start listening to their music. And if they decide to go to their website and start looking up, they're in danger of falling into the trap of their bad doctrine just by listening to their music. And that's how this works. That's how it's getting our young people. It puts them at risk. Let me see here. Not only that, you have to pay for their music if you do it correctly. When you use their music up on the screen, by law, you're supposed to pay them royalties. And I used this example before. Everybody in here knows what Planned Parenthood is, right? If they came out with gospel music, would you use their music? No, because that you can say that's ridiculous. Well, this is just as bad. I wouldn't do it, and neither would you, but the big difference in, I was going to say, is the music in the hymns that have people who wrote them that may have had some doctrine backwards is, one, they're not around today and their influence is not acting out on people. The fact that their influence is not happening to most people is the fact that most people don't know there are bad doctrine in some of the people that wrote those songs. We just know they're in our hymn book and we sing them. But these songs that are out there today in the praise and worship, those people are alive today and they're pushing their message, and it is a dangerous influence that is grabbing the people. Now this is actually going to kind of tie into what we're going to get into next couple of weeks. Y'all know there's a connection with magic and music. We should be aware of it. We've all heard the word enchantment, right? Enchantment is the state of being under a spell, magic. Synonyms for it be magic, witchcraft, sorcery, wizardry, necromancy, conjuration, hypnotism, mesmerism, cultism, voodoo, black arts, charms, spells, incantations, mojo. We've all heard all of these things. Did you know that the word enchantment is derived from the Latin word cantar, and the word cantar literally means to sting? There's a tie there. Okay, and these enchantments and things like that are actually being used in a lot of this modern music, and we're going to talk about that in the next week or two. And we know, I just put this in here, you shall not eat anything with blood, neither shall you use enchantment or observe time. But they're being used in music in churches today, and we're going to really dive into that in the next 2 weeks. So let me just, I got two more examples I want to show you here. There's a very popular song called Reckless Love out there that they sing. I think this one, I don't know if it came out of Hillsong, but I know that, going to blank on his name. Pop star singer, young guy. He was going to church there. If I said his name, you'd all know who I was talking about, but, He sang this song, Reckless Love. And I didn't even have to look up the words. All I had to do was look at the title. Reckless goes against the very nature of God. There's nothing reckless about Him. In 1 Corinthians 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. In 14:40, let all things be done decently and in order, the way God works. There's nothing reckless about Him. These people that write this stuff right here, they don't know God. They show it in their writings, and people just let it go. Right. That's a whole other thing right there. James 3:16, for envy and strife is there is confusion in every evil work. That's confusion right there. And that's what they're caught up in. I want y'all to listen to the words of this psalm. No. It says, Lord, I am just a simple man trying hard to understand. Where's my place in your great plan? Oh, Lord, help this man. As time, like the grain of sand, slipping through the palm of my hand, I realize I need to make amends. Oh, Lord, forgive this man, forgive this man. So many mistakes I made along the way come fleeting by as I pray, and I wonder how merciful can you be? Oh, Lord, help this man. Now, those words don't sound bad, but if you look this song up, it is a song written to Allah. That's why we need to be careful about our music. Because, I don't know about you, I don't want to be singing a song about Allah at all. Definitely not to my God. And people are going through life haphazardly taking whatever's presented to them. They think, oh, I like that. I think I'll just take that. Another thing that I've always used in my life, I believe you can judge a person by who their friends are and who their enemies are. And same way in the social world too, I don't trust the media, so whatever thing they're pushing for, I'm usually against. And the fact that you can find news stories where the news media is like praising these churches saying, look at this, it's like a bar, but it's a church. Right. Hey, red flag. Something's wrong there. And so we need to be careful that we don't get sucked into that, and we need to make sure that our children don't get sucked into that. Because, like I said, they may be young enough, they're not saved. This could be something that could put a roadblock in the way of their salvation. And that's not something I want on me. It's not something we want on us. And so I got one more page of notes. Y'all ready? All right. This is just a preview for one of the things that we're going to be talking about probably in 2 weeks. Y'all ever heard of the Ohm? Not that one. You shrink at me. That is the Ohm. It is either a Hindu or a Buddhist symbol. And it's actually it's a tie to music. That's just the symbol for it. And I'm going to explain what it is and how it has tied the Eastern religions to the praise and worship music. And how that they're using it for what I talked about, how music and magic are tied together. And you'll when I tell you what this is, and I'll tell you a little bit, not much, you'll be like, oh, that's what that is. The first thing most people think of is the monks when they're sitting with their legs crossed and they got their hands up like this and they're going, oh, that's what this is. Okay. But there's a lot more to it than that. And so that's what we're going to talk about that next week, Lord willing. I got to set the stage really to kind of dive into that. We're going to talk about the false spirit that's in the world. And that false spirit is tied to this. And then the third week, when we dive into this, I'll show you how it all ties together. So that's all I have for this morning. Does anybody have any questions or anything they want to say? I said, if anybody wants me to print these off for you, I will. Just let me know. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people, everybody's going to realize how important this stuff is one day, but a lot of people, it's going to be too late. And I can tell you this, when I was growing up, my grandpa was really big on, he was against anything contemporary. And he said, you don't need to be messing with none of that. But he never told me really why. For all I knew, it was just because he didn't like the style. There's more to play here than just style. And so when Pastor asked me to teach on music, and I began to study and look into things myself, and I started to find this, I'm like, nobody's ever explained this to me. And I think it's a necessary thing for us to understand, because I can't defend a position I hold if I don't know why I hold that position, other than that's just what I was taught. And so it's important for us to understand these things. I mean, you can kind of go off on the deep end too much too, but a basic understanding can help you at least explain to somebody else, this is why I don't do it. Anybody else? But thing is if you dig hard enough, there are probably songs back then that weren't good either. And they're not in our hymn book for that reason. We all know the old church hymnal, right? Technically it's a Church of God hymn book. There are some good songs in it, but there are a lot of work salvation songs in it that aren't good. That's why we don't use those in our church. There's a song, I don't know if anybody's ever heard it, it's called There is a Redeemer. Very pretty, simple song. It was wrote in the 70s. I always liked it. I was going to sing it here one Sunday. And before I was going to sing it, the Lord laid on my heart, you need to look this song up. And I won't lie, I said, I don't want to. I like this song. I like this song. And the Lord laid on my heart, he said, you need to look this song up. I looked it up. The woman that wrote that song, and I'll have to go back and look it up and see exactly what it was. They were in some kind of Church of Christ scientist group. I'd never heard of before. No, it's different than that. It was like Church of Christ of Science or something like that. And when I went to look up what they believe, they don't believe in the deity of Christ. And I was like, oh. Done with that one. So, you know, there are certain things that, you know, it may have said, you know, they believe, you know, you can lose your salvation. I'd be like, well, okay, that's not as big of a deal. But they don't believe the deity of Christ. That's a pretty big deal. And so I had to say, okay, I won't sing that song. And I don't feel bad about it. So that's basically what I'm trying to. Do you know it? Yeah, it has an appeal to it. And when you hear the song, it sounds like an old hymn because it was wrote in the 70s. It doesn't sound like the stuff today for music. Because they're putting music out all the time. I mean, now I think for a song to be old, it has to be, what, 5 years? Is that how it goes for the younger people? Is it 5 years? So, all right, well, that's... if. Anybody else? Well, if you do that, you're going to be, what's that one that Brother Stephen told me about? Kick me through the goalposts of life. Right. Brother, would you mind dismissing us in prayer?